the important thing about omega-3s here is that they can do two things. First, they are antagonistic to the omega-6 fats, right? That we usually think about in the context of producing things that help with the inflammatory response. So prostaglandins or other compounds like leukotrienes and thromboxanes that are important for coagulation and other things, right? So it's important that that omega-6 pathway is activated, but then you have a counterbalance to that, which is the omega-3 pathway, which will produce less inflammatory compounds, which will help counter whatever is being produced from the other side. So it will keep a balance to the response that needs to be mounted, but it will tone it down.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Adasail, provider of SmartAmine M, the best-in-class rumen-protected methionine product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production. Kemin invites you to optimize your herd's performance. Dive in at kemin.com/dairy. Birdus Nutrition, the fatty acid people. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Barnes is your trusted partner for Colon Plus FC, enzymes, yeast products, and macro minerals. To learn more, visit barnes-na.com/animal nutrition. Vitagro, the gut health experts, rumen protected, right where it matters. Sponsored by S. Milko Inc., specialists in calf and baby farm animal nutrition, delivering precision formulated milk replacers.
Hello, everyone. This is Luis Ferreiro with the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. And today we will be discussing inflammation, which I know is not a key nutrition topic, but as a nutritionist, it's also our job to make sure that we minimize this issue. So we want to see and discuss how omega-3 can help us mitigating this issue. And to discuss that with us, we have Dr. Eduardo Rico from University of Pennsylvania. Eduardo, first, welcome back to the podcast and thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll be able to discuss a lot about this very intriguing topic that I'm sure all the nutritionists will be able to benefit from.
Thank you, Luis. Happy to be here again.
So before we dive into this inflammation discussion, tell us a little bit about why are some of the reasons why we should consider omega-3 in dairy diets? What are some of the effects that we can expect when we have omega-3 in the diet?
Well, omega-3s have been discussed for many years, I guess probably decades, even in dairy cow nutrition, for a couple of different reasons. A lot of it had to do with research from probably around the 1980s, starting where we talked about the effects that it could have on fertility. And this is true for not just cows, but for many animal species. The effects on fertility seem to be pretty solid. There was also some discussion at some point about the benefits that we could have as an industry by having these omega-3 fatty acids incorporated into the milk. Because, of course, in human nutrition, this is one of those key nutrients that are very, very interesting to supplement, and you will find even in the stores omega-3s in the milk, in the eggs, in many things we try to enrich, right? So the question is, can you do that with the milk? So there was a little bit of hype around those topics. And I would say that's fair, but there is more to the omega-3s than we have traditionally discussed. Not that the fertility effects are not important, but I think that as we're discussing today, more the inflammatory side has been less understood. And we're making more inroads now into identifying why omega-3s could be actually helpful and why actually inflammation could be a bigger thing that we had originally recognized. So putting those two things together seems to be important.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I will add to that, omega-3s are an essential fatty acid, right? Omega-3s and omega-6s, that they're two considered, in general in nutrition, essential fatty acids. It's in the same way that we consider essential amino acids. But the problem here is that from the nutritional standpoint, we don't really have requirements established. And so it makes it very difficult for a nutritionist to really, and I guess from producers to some extent, to see the value of adding something that is not usually discussed in terms of a requirement, because we have not established that. So that it seems to be a roadblock. But there is reasons to say they have a place in the diets and we should think about it.
It doesn't have to be this hard to keep cows pregnant. At Verteus Nutrition, we understand the negative impact that lost pregnancies have on a dairy's economics. Every failed pregnancy means more money spent on expensive semen, additional replacements to raise, and fewer valuable beef calves to sell. Feed what embryos need. Strata with EPA DHA, the pregnancy nutrient.
Well, and being a requirement or not, I believe that if there are benefits, we should definitely consider, because at the end of the day, I believe it's our jobs to make sure that the dairy cow can have the best performance, but at the same time that it keeps the best health. Said that, if you allow me to enter this topic of inflammation, we see a lot of discussions about that. It's obviously extremely important for dairy farmers because of the impact in dairy cows. But tell us a little bit about the effects and consequences of inflammation and in the context of having good and bad inflammation, right? Because I believe that when it comes to the dairy cow, we have those in very obvious, but also not so obvious states, right? So
yeah, so inflammation, as we were saying a little bit earlier, is something that has, I'd say, emerged more recently in the past decade or so. We have been talking about this. It always say Barry Bradford's review comes to mind with the little fire in the cow, saying that inflammation is like a fire, right? And I really like that concept, because inflammation has to be recognized as something that is necessary to mount defenses to pathogens, to infections, to even to injuries. Inflammation is a normal part of animal life and dairy cow life. The thing is that beyond the normal response that the cow will use to protect herself, you could go over and have exaggerated or responses that are sustained over too long of a period. So it's like a fire that goes out of control. So I think that's a shorthand view of how to think about inflammation. It's something that is important and needed. It will happen regardless of the whatever we do to the cow. There's some moments in life in which you will experience inflammation, for example, around calving. It's normal that there will be an inflammatory response. This is actually important for delivering the calf. So we need to recognize it is important and necessary, but what happens when you get too much of that? And if you get too much of that and you can call it uncontrolled, how do you actually control that fire? Right, and what benefits could it have? Because if it goes out of control, then you can have negative consequences, including tissue damage and things like that. Like, for example, infections. We think about this very intuitively with mastitis, right? So there could be uncontrolled mastitis could lead into damage to the mammary gland, and you could even lose a quarter, things like that. That can happen in many tissues where inflammation is doing, you know, wreaking havoc, I would say.
How do you see the role of omega-3 in helping us in terms of inflammation?
So the important thing about omega-3s here is that they can do two things. First, they are antagonistic to the omega-6 fats, right, that we usually think about in the context of producing things that help with the inflammatory response, so prostaglandins or other compounds like leukotrienes and thromboxanes that are important for coagulation and other things, right? So it's important that that omega-6 pathway is activated, but then you have a counterbalance to that, which is the omega-3 pathway, which will produce less inflammatory compounds, which will help counter whatever is being produced from the other side. So it will keep a balance to the response that needs to be mounted, but it will tone it down, right? So they could be considered to that extent anti-inflammatory substances, particularly some of the famous ones that we more often discuss nowadays. EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, will be more a fatty acid that is antagonistic to that omega-6 pathway, and it will be anti-inflammatory by definition because it's antagonistic to pro-inflammatory pathways. But then you have the other one, which is DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, which is more on the resolution part of inflammation. So you got an inflammation that is happening. How do you put out that fire? And that's where the DHA part of this omega-3 equation becomes more important. So the two have roles. And importantly, the two seem to be insufficient in modern dairy cows that are being challenged by many things. And so I will just briefly say things like heat stress associated inflammation, things that happen during leaky gut, right, that could be caused by many things, and also during just the parturition period or peripartum, right? And around calving, there could be an inflammatory response that in part is normal, but it could be out of control. So omega-3s could help us in those critical periods. That means that, going back to the topic of requirements, we may need them, but we just don't know how much we need. And we have a lot of, questions and uncertainties about how much the cow is actually getting from the diet. So there is a lot of difficulties in understanding what is the proper way to give it and how much does she get and how much should you give, especially because also if you give this in a supplement, they could be pricey, right? So it's not something that you do just because to increase your feeding cost. So there is a challenge, I understand there, but they could potentially help the cow mount a more balanced response to the challenges that she faces, right?
Absolutely. And since you mentioned, right, there are different sources that we maybe can provide to the dairy cow in order to increase the omega-3 in the diet. Can you give us some examples about which sources are rich in omega-3 that could be considered?
So there is the natural sources. We should start from there. Grasses, forages, they are rich sources of omega-3 fatty acids. You can have something between 40 or 60% in a regular fresh forage. 40 to 60% of that fat, which is not a lot, but there is a sensible amount of omega-3s already there. We talk about those omega-3s from plants as alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA for short. That's a type of long-chain omega-3 fatty acid. And that's in the diet, and we should, as much as we could, because that would be the lower cost approximation, boost that as much as we can. But we know that our diets are not really all forage, especially in places like the US, and especially with high-producing dairy cows that require a higher density energy diets, right? So that means that we will have the counterbalance of omega-6 coming from things like concentrates, cereals. So ultimately, the amount that the cow is getting from the regular diet, just the baseline, may not be sufficient. And a lot of people have been estimating how much that is. There are some numbers like 13 grams per day or so. And the key point is that that may not be enough. There is a number of bottlenecks for why we could say that that's not enough. One of them is because the diet, whatever is in the forage, most of it, 80 to 100% sometimes, gets completely destroyed in the rumen. That's another thing that we need to recognize. As much as we think about essential amino acids like lysine and methionine that we need to protect, because otherwise if you put them in the rumen and protect it, they will be destroyed. The same with this type of fats. This is actually something that bacteria don't like, and they will try to destroy before the animal gets to see an ounce of it. So that's a little bit of a challenge that we have, and that's the reason the cows don't really get a lot of it regularly. They do get some, of course, but if we want to really boost it, because we understand now that these modern cows may need more, then there's the second tier of things that you can consider, and that would be specific supplements that bypass a lot of these issues, specifically things like EPA and DHA. And that's coming from usually supplements. Of course, these supplements will need to be protected. So we have challenges on that side of the equation too. What is good protection? What is effective protection that doesn't let those fats be destroyed in the rumen, but allows the cow to absorb them? So a lot of our interest has migrated recently into understanding which supplements are best. And for many people, calcium salts of fatty acids will come to mind. They are effective in digestion terms, but they may still be limited in protecting the fatty acids we want to preserve. So more alternatives are being actively searched and researched. But yeah, those would be the main two things. First tier baseline diets, second tier supplements. And I would say there is a place for both of them. As long as we understand what we are delivering, we can make better decisions.
Absolutely. And just to copy with your comment about how it has to be protected, similar to amino acids. So does that mean that there is also variation on, let's call bioavailability to mimic with amino acids based on these different protections? So should we consider numbers like that as well?
Yes, bioavailability is a key concept in nutrition in general, also for minerals and vitamins. So depending on the source, you can get different levels or amounts that the animal can actually absorb, which is what ultimately matters. How much is in the intestine of that cow ready for absorption? Even if you bypass the rumen, can that actually be digested and absorbed? And sometimes that's not the case. You get a lot of, if you get it wrong, a lot of that precious thing that you just gave the cow can be lost in the manure. So yes, we can think about it in terms of bioavailability. The good news is that if you get most of the omega-3s to bypass the rumen and you get them effectively available in the intestines, these type of fatty acids have an incredibly high rate of absorbability or digestibility, above 90% usually. So the biggest challenge, I think, is to get them off the rumen without being altered, which is something that we still struggle with things like calcium salts, for example. So that's, again, the reason for trying to find alternatives that preserve them. But if you actually get to that point, digestibility is super high. Bioavailability for that metric will be very, very high. We have experiments, abomasal infusions, right? We put them directly into the abomasum of a cow with digestibility estimations around 99%. So it's crazy. And so if you get to that point, you can be very effective. But the question is how to get to that point, right?
Absolutely. Eduardo, thank you so much for joining us today. A lot of great things for us to think about in terms of how to better formulate diets and make sure that we ate cows with those inflammation responses. And thank you at home for joining us today. I hope to see you soon.
Thank you.